Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. Willie P and Diesel here with you as we continue final hour of the program. We've had a lot of calls and a lot of interaction with you today. That will continue at 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. Text us at 71307, and please, please, please put ESPN in the body of your text. That way we can see it and also have you be a part of the program. By the end of this hour, we will have talked to Limestone head coach Brian Turk. The Saints coming off of a tough defeat at the hands of West Georgia. We'll get a chance to chat with him around 6:45. Looking forward to having our usual Monday as visit with him. We'll hear from some Clemson players and also from Clemson defensive coordinator Brent Venables. Also some South Carolina stuff as well, and tell you what was left on the cutting room floor. We might have time for some more NFL stuff too as time permits. Again, 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. 71307 is the text line. We'll start this hour in the Empire State, where the Clemson Tigers went up to Syracuse and continued their revenge tour that seems to be spanning all of their negative energy that has existed over the last couple of years.
Once it's a shotgun snap, pumps it, now looks down in the middle, finds Rodgers, touchdown!
I told you about the middle.
A little poke fake, and then back down the seam, and Amari Rodgers is open for the touchdown.
That was the call from Don Munson and Tim Beret, as heard right on our sister station, 93.3 The Planet. Clemson 41, Syracuse 6. It was rarely close, although Diesel likes to talk about the fact that it was close at halftime, 17-6. I know you thought it was close.
I didn't say it was close. I said Clemson didn't look good in the first half. Uh-huh. That's what I said.
Uh-huh.
Never said the word close.
Uh-huh. My bad for misquoting you. So sorry.
Get it right.
So sorry. I never thought Syracuse was a threat in that game. Truth be told. There was a brief period where it looked like they were going to possibly make it a little uncomfortable, especially after that second Trevor pick. But a couple of goal line stands for the Clemson defense, and they kept the space between those two teams very evident. Trevor Lawrence, despite throwing two interceptions, did throw for a career-high 395 yards and three touchdowns. You heard one of them to Amari Rodgers. Another one was an 87-yard off of a quick screen to Rodgers, and another one came to Frank Ladson Jr. on one of the great individual jump ball plays you're going to see. Basically threw one up while Ladson is getting pushed down by the defender, and he caught it on the seat of his pants. A fantastic play for the freshman Latson. They get the touchdown, and the Tigers improved to 3-0 on the season. Lawrence also had a touchdown run, as did Ches Malusi. His first collegiate touchdown, a 57-yard scamper in garbage time. Clemson avenges a game against Syracuse where, let's be real, this is the team that has kind of given them the bugaboo over the last couple of years. A loss 2 years ago in Central New York, and of course the tough victory last year at Death Valley, where Chase Brice had to come off the bench, make a big 4th-and-5 throw to T. Higgins to save the game and the season for the Tigers. But the story wasn't the quarterbacking in this contest. It was about the Clemson D, which Dabo Swinney says continues to impress.
Thought they were just amazing. I mean, just the goal line stands. We had sudden change. They got a pick. We go right back and get a pick. We had two goal line stands. We had 8 sacks. I think we had the most tackles for loss we've had since I've been a head coach. And so just really proud of the D and just how they responded. And never allowed them to get any momentum. Obviously, there were a couple of chances where they could have gotten some momentum, but our defense just kind of stuffed it out. But so just really proud of those guys. 187 total yards to our 612. That's a huge difference right there. And again, shout out to those guys, man. I mean, I can't say enough about them. And we had a couple plays on us, but for the most part, we were really well positioned. We tackled well and, again, pressured the quarterback all night.
ACC honors for Trevor Lawrence, John Simpson, and Isaiah Simmons. Lawrence, the co-quarterback of the week. Simpson, the offensive lineman of the week. And Simmons, linebacker of the week. Simmons also named the Walter Camp player of the week. He was just reckless. The ninth Clemson player to win that award since 2004. Second this season, Travis Etienne was one of them. He had two quarterback sacks, eight tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss in the victory for Clemson. Think about this. They had eight sacks of quarterback Tommy DeVito. Eight. That's unheard of in a football game. Eight sacks for one team in a game, and that was something that was just, once again, a marvel to behold. They had 15 tackles for loss, including 3.5 from Simmons, who led the team. 15 tackles for loss. That is a high for a Clemson team in the Dabo Sweeney era. Simmons led the team with 11 tackles. Chad Smith had 9. Tanner Muse, who basically was a pariah, to say the least, against Syracuse over the course of the last 2 years, he did his job. 1.5, had 7 tackles, had 1 sack, 2 tackles for loss, and really wasn't heard from in a negative sense, which was great, as Clemson keeps Syracuse out of the end zone, taking their scoring defense still down to 10 points per game, which is lower than the team average all of last year, which was 13. This is a team that continues to get better, and dare I say it, it's something that is a sight to behold. 71307 is the text line. 864 texter goes, as a Tiger fan, I would not characterize our season as any sort of revenge tour. Leave that for Jim Harbaugh. I will say that it is odd that we seem to have so many more injuries against Syracuse than any other team we play, though. It looked like we might lose Etienne and T potentially in that game. Again, I think both of those guys are fine. I think that because of the issues that people seem to have with Syracuse, it has they have the ability with some defensive playmakers to make things happen. There's no two ways about it there. But I do think that this team is, I mean, they're on a motivational tilt, if you will. If you don't want to hear the words revenge tour, they have found the motivational tilt that hits more than it doesn't. There have been a couple of times where that motivational tilt doesn't hit. You could say that 2 years ago, whether or not you overlooked Syracuse or not, for one reason or another, you didn't play well in your best ball game. You should have had all the motivation in the world to play Alabama 2 years ago also, and you didn't win that football game. Last year, of course, you beat all comers, although a couple of games were insincere down at the end. There has been no doubt, absolutely no doubt, from Clemson and the performance that they've had on the football field. And that is a credit to Sweeney's motivational tactics, the overall talent of this team, and most importantly, Brent Venables. So we'll hear from coming up later on this hour. He'll tell you why he was so proud of the effort from his defense when it came to this season. Conversely, for South Carolina, the effort was not necessarily as crisp as many thought it was going to be. Although, again, probably better than you thought it was going to be, but not as good as the other team on the other sideline. Though the one thing that I carried from it is that Ryan Olinsky did not lose in the football game. In fact, with throws like this, he almost helped them pull off the upset.
Football. Ryan got some time. Throwing down the field into coverage. Shai Smith there.
Got it.
Leaping up. Caught. Touchdown, Carolina. Touchdown, Shai Smith. Are you kidding me? Between two defenders from 31 yards out.
If you would have told me before I listened to that clip earlier today when getting it for the program, if Todd Ellis would have had an "Are you kidding me?" in that clip, I would have bet my entire mortgage and or bank account on the fact that he would have said, "Are you kidding me?" on that play. That was the one between the two defenders where it was a no, yes throw from Holinsky. I said during the game, I said it looked like he had a little Favre gene on that play because he threw it in between two defenders and somehow Shai Smith came up with the football inexplicably. I was marveled by that throw. He should not have thrown that football. But he came down with it. He was the SEC Freshman of the Week, an award that does not usually go to freshmen. Just doesn't. It doesn't go to freshmen that lose in the game, I should say. I apologize. It's an award that should not, that doesn't usually go to freshmen who lose. Usually that's given to a winning team. Usually that's given to a winning player. But he acquitted himself so well in that game, despite an interception and a fumble, 36-57 for 324. More completions, more attempts than any true freshman has had for South Carolina in the history of the program, and almost was one away from breaking the all-time record for attempts by a quarterback singularly. That was set by Steve Tannehill, who had 58 in a game for South Carolina in his career in one game. But now it seems that South Carolina has the true leader at quarterback that it needs. It needs the rest of the team to come by. But the one thing that I think we saw on Saturday, and Will Muschamp echoed this in the statements after the game, they're not, at least at this point in time, and have not, are not going to lose a game based on Ryan Helinski's decision-making.
We moved the ball well offensively. Really proud of Ryan and the job that he did in the game. Hung in there, and again, we're gonna try and score, and what we need to do, improve offensively there late in the game. That's what we're going to do. We're going to keep fighting. That's who we are. And he needs to get as many snaps as he can to continue to improve, and we do offensively. So just from a gutsy standpoint of taking some shots in the pocket there against some really good players, going against a really good secondary, and throwing some tight throws, he had some balls dropped. I mean, we had three off the top of my head that we had opportunities to, keep the chains moving. But he hung in there and did a nice job. We had to call timeout there to start the second half, which was disappointing. We had to burn a timeout there, and some communication things we've got to get, just continue to iron out. But it ain't all on him. It's on our entire offensive staff and our offensive players. So those are all things we'll continue to work through. But I was really proud of his effort today and the guys around him. Shai Smith made a great catch on the touchdown catch. We had some guys make some great efforts. I thought we did a really good job in the run game as far as blocking, getting a hat on a hat in the run game, and Rico and Tavian both ran well.
That is Will Muschamp after the game, after South Carolina's 47-23 loss against Bama. Look, they covered the spread. I think that's something you can take as a positive. Didn't think you were gonna win the game, let's be real. But I do think that you could take some positives. Rico Dowdle ran it very violently and ran it very effectively. 12 carries, 102 yards. He had a long of 33. This team ran for 135 yards against the Bama defense that usually is impenetrable on that side of the football. You outrushed Alabama, which is something I didn't think anybody thought was going to happen before the game. If you would have told me before the game that South Carolina would have outrushed Bama, I would have told you they would have pulled the upset, but they didn't. Be that as it may, problems on this defense continue to be a bugaboo for South Carolina. Very bad tackling, very bad spacing when it comes to some of their defense, and you wonder if they are going to ever get it together in enough time to make things happen and keep this team afloat. You have two games against Missouri and Kentucky that you must win in order to prove that you can maybe get back to a bowl this season. If you don't get to a bowl, things are going to be very precarious for the head man. That's why we asked the question, does Will Muschamp need to win the next two games to save his job? Poll question says 56% say no, he is still safe. Dylan tweets us at ESPN Upstate, no shot they fire him this year with how big his buyout is. I'm telling you, I've talked to people who say the buyout is not an issue anymore. That's what they say. Could be true, could be not true, could be people blowing smoke, but they're saying that it will not be necessarily something that comes into a monetary situation there. Fan tweets us, who is the biggest DMB fan, biggest Dave Matthews band fan. He says, it's early in this poll, but those that say he's safe are losers and reason South Carolina is where it is. Interesting take. Dwayne says his record is going to be 4-8. Brock, another tweet about the buyout. There are a couple people who are saying that he's safe for another year. Tanner isn't pulling the trigger. Again, I'm not sure that's necessarily the case. Texter from the 864 says, looks like South Carolina better enjoy moral victories. Looks like that's the only kind they're getting in their last seven games. That's rough. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number. Let's go to Damian, who's calling. He wants to talk South Carolina Bama, and he's next on ESPN Upstate. Hello, Damian.
Hey, hello. How are you guys doing today?
What's up, bud?
I got a feeling that I'm going to get some heat from this, but I say South Carolina exposed Alabama. Exposed, perfect word for it.
I don't think
they
you're wrong.
All over them. They threw all over them with a true freshman quarterback. Let's face it, South Carolina's roster is not the best, but they've got some playmakers. And they made Alabama's defense, pass defense, look silly.
They did.
It's ridiculous. I can't wait to see what LSU does to these guys.
I took a lot of similar takeaways. I appreciate the call, Damian. The one thing you can conclude is that there is a chasm of talent, at least at the skill position, between Alabama and South Carolina. There's no denying that. That's not something that is easy for a lot of South Carolina fans to admit, although it might be easy. You might have more rational people out there. But the one thing is, they move the football a lot better than I thought they would have against an Alabama team. And again, you exposed a lot of the spacing in the middle. The freshman linebackers there certainly look like neophytes. They really miss Dylan Moses. That part of it is incredibly evident. And again, I don't think Bama is the impenetrable force that many believe they are. And I will say this again about Tua, and I know I get a lot of crap from people about saying this. I'm not going to go so far as to say Tua Tagovailoa is a fraud, but I think there's some fraudulence in his numbers. Most of his numbers come off of plays made by his wide receivers in space, not by anything that he necessarily does. Yes, he can feed them the football. They can gain separation. I don't think Tua is going to go into an NFL situation where he has to basically win you games on his own and have the ability to do that. He's living off of one throw he made 2 years ago. Other than that, I don't know what he actually can bring at the next level. He's a heck of a college quarterback. He's got a bastion of riches. He's got the best receiving core in the nation. And that's without Jalen Waddle doing anything. He was targeted once, was Waddle. Jerry Jeudy had one catch for 7 yards. It was all about Devontae Smith and Henry Ruggs early in that game for Alabama. Nothing about Tua in that game. I looked at that and I saw I was impressed by. Just saying. It was his receivers I was impressed by. 844-GSP, ESPN is the phone number, 71307, the text line. Let's go to Rich, who is calling. Rich, you're on ESPN Upstate.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a Gamecock fan, but I can't stand Will Muschamp. I wish he was gone tomorrow. I think he's a great recruiter. He can't coach. He's trying to be a head coach, and he can't even coach defense anymore, and he's supposed to be some mastermind when we brought him in, right? So give me Dino Babers or Mark Stoops any day over this joker, because it's enough. I mean, how many times every team in the country knows we're going to run that wide receiver reverse, right?
Right.
We get away with it one time. Edwards, he's a bulldozer. He's the best player on our offense. And then we run it four more times.
Right.
I mean, what coach does this? You know,
well, that's McClendon. That's on McClendon. That's on McClendon. That's the offensive coordinator's job. He doesn't.
Well, yeah, it's partly him. But what about all the fake punts and kickoffs and field goals and all that? I mean, it's Nick Saban, for crying out loud. You might get one on him, but give me a break.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate the call, Rich. Love the passion, and make sure that you find my car out at the Harvard Yard when I really just wanted to say something about the guy's voice. I love that. I love that guy. He can call back any time. Is that a new one for you? Do you know that guy?
No, I don't. But it's I love
that guy.
I don't know if he's from Boston or close to it.
You think?
Close to it.
You think? You think he's from Boston?
You know, if he's a fan of the Gamecocks and the Red Sox, I'm a fan of his.
Dino Babers. I will say this: I took Will Muschamp to task for the onside kick and the fake punt. I was not a fan of either of those calls, especially with the onside kick after the field goal. Like, if you would have scored a touchdown on that drive and gone for the onside kick, I'd expect it. But the onside kick there, I just didn't understand. I didn't like the fake punt on the 4th and 5 from your own 30. If you're going to go for it with your offense from that side of the field, that point of the field. I didn't like that at all. And the fake field goal, it worked, but you had a hold. See, that's the thing. I won't get on him for the fake field goal because it worked in principle, but not necessarily in practice.
Yeah, but when you're punching as far above your weight class as South Carolina is against Alabama, you have to go for some of these plays.
Yeah, I know.
You have to do what you can. You have to make big, exciting plays to try to capture some momentum, to try to knock Alabama's heart out of the game. That's what you have to do, and they had it. They just held.
There were some situations where Will Muschamp admitted, and he said this in the postgame, where he admitted that they did have to play with some desperation.
We needed to steal some possessions in the game, stay on the field offensively more because of their offense. It's a total different animal what you're trying to face. We get in the red zone, we need to score touchdowns. So, yeah, it was a different mindset than maybe we've had other weeks. But it's not the same every week because what do you need to do to win the game? And that's the way we felt going into this ball game. And we talk as a staff throughout the week is what do we need to do to win the game? So it's not just about going for it on fourth down just because we wouldn't want to go for it on fourth down. It's about the situation in the game. It's the field position in the game. It's about a certain punt look or a punt safe look or a punt block look that we get in the game that we look at and we have somebody in the box saying it's there. And it's all calculated risk on what we want to do. We felt like that the field goal fake was there. We felt like it was there after their, first field goal attempt on the hash. We that was the look they were going with in the game. They don't necessarily change up their look. So we knew right then we got the look, we got what we want. So those are all things that we talk about through the week, and they're up for us every week. Now we may not get the right look that we want, so we're not able to call it in those situations. So it just all is about the time in the situation and you know, what is it going to do help us win? That's really the bottom line.
That is Will Muschamp. Again, look, I agree that you needed to steal some possessions, but you made it very, very clear, and you made a very good point about the fact that you knew they needed to pick their spots. They just picked the wrong spots to execute. Like, they kicked when they shouldn't have and went for it when they shouldn't have. There just was more aggressiveness in places where they didn't need to, where discretion could have been the greater part of valor. Agreed?
Yeah, and if you go for it and you make that touchdown at the end of the first half, it completely changes the entire complexity of the second half. If you decide to go for the kick and you at least make the kick, then it could change the complexity of the second half. And then you're right. Once you get into the second half and Alabama starts doing what Alabama does, you got to go for it at that point. It's like, what difference does it make? Is it better to play your game and lose by 14? Or is it better to take calculated risks and lose by 28? I don't know whatever the final differential was.
Don't know if this tweet is more satire or the cold, hard truth. This is from Jeremy, who tweets us at ESPN Upstate. Muschamp safe unless they go 2-10 or something like that. 5-7 wins is what Tanner expected this year, and he is clearly okay with mediocrity or he wouldn't have hired Muschamp in the first place.
Pretty sure they didn't hire him to be mediocre.
I don't think they did either. 844-GSP, ESPN's the phone number. We'll get some more of your phone calls and texts in, as well as some more on Clemson's victory over Syracuse and which game does look like the scary one. That'll probably be the thing we tackle tomorrow, because I'm trying to talk my way into a scary game left on Clemson's schedule. It's just very, very hard to do. Willie P on ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Willie P and Diesel back here with you. 844-GSP-ESPN. Text line 71307. First time all year you and I weren't in the same press box together this weekend. So,
did you miss me?
I did. Honestly, I did.
Could have invited me to the pool to watch football yesterday, but you didn't.
Did you want to drive an hour and a half?
That's not the point. You didn't even send the invite.
I invited Colin Taylor. He stood me up, jerk. So I guess you could have come.
I mean, I probably would have stood you up, too. I'm just saying, I would have liked the invite.
I understand.
That's one of my favorite things is saying no to people. I really enjoy it.
You mean you didn't stand me up for lunch last week? We went to lunch
together. I didn't,
but
there was excellent barbecue in the line. So
I understand.
I would have only been hurting myself if I didn't go to that lunch.
That was so good. Oh, my God.
I didn't go for the company. I went for the food, okay?
I'm glad that you can be truthful in that regard. Why did your lovely girlfriend also was there as well? Did she go just for the barbecue or for the company?
I'm pretty sure she went just for the food as well.
And that's just as well. I understand. Nobody wants to hang with
Willie.
And
I'm talking about myself also.
Nobody wants to hang with Willie P. That's fine. I'll take it. I'll earn that.
Why are you talking under your breath?
That's fine. What? I'm just saying.
You're talking on your breath. You're so sad. You're the saddest boy in the land right now.
I'm a sad boy. Else outside of the two locals pique your fancy on the college football realm while we have a moment?
I'd have to go back and go through everything.
I'll say this.
That's an on the spot question.
Sorry, I will say this. I was very, very upset with the fact that Mark wasn't on the air today because I wanted to hear the party for No Felipe Franks that he was going to throw. I really wanted to hear the pity party on No Felipe Franks. I really wanted to hear that. But we'll have to wait till tomorrow when he's back. He had the same tweet that he had when Bentley got hurt, and he said Florida fans trying to justify their classiness by also saying that they were actually happy that Felipe Franks got hurt. And look, I said it on Saturday night. Like, you never want to see a guy get hurt, especially with such an ugly injury. I didn't see it live. Basically, it was one of the things where, like, I was flipping back and forth between that game and I believe the Clemson game at that time, because I think it was in the fourth quarter at that time. That was a late game because the Clemson game was out of reach. And so I was flipping back and forth between that game and the Clemson game. And basically what they told us is, we saw him going off on the cart, and Steve Levy came on the air and said, we're not showing you the replay. And the people are we don't want to see it. And so I went and looked at it, and I, of course, regretted seeing it because it was not good. And just, you never want to see somebody go out like that. And we certainly wish the best for him. But again, we go back to this thing again. Is Kyle Trask better for Florida's chances rest of the season than Felipe Franks is? Trask, of course, had only 22 attempts a year ago. See whether or not he gets another chance here at a reprieve for the Florida starting job. Again, they have a lean part of their schedule here over the next 2 weeks for them to try and get healthy. And they play Tennessee at home. That should be a win. And then Towson, the almighty power that is Towson, before welcoming in Auburn for homecoming. That could be a little dicey.
I feel a little bad today for for Dana Holgorsen.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Houston vaunted everybody. You know, everybody wants Houston to be that next team to step up and,
yeah, they do,
and really claim that Power 5 spot. Everybody thinks Houston's that next team that's ready for it. UCF has just said, nope, we're shutting the door on you.
Dude.
You know, UCF, Houston was the shiny new car.
Mm.
Everybody really wanted them. And then, you know, UCF comes in as the kind of rusty around the edges, you know, third-gen Camaro it's just got a big motor in it, and everybody loves it. But, man, you know, they did not look good against Prairie View in week two, 37-17, only beating them by 20. But, I mean, they ran into a buzzsaw week one against Oklahoma, number four Oklahoma, week three against a ranked Washington State. Over the next couple of games, they should do okay. Tulane, North Texas, Cincinnati's going to be kind of tough. UConn, easy win. SMU, easy win. And then they go to Central Florida, follow that up with Memphis at home.
Certainly so. It's funny how this is something that, again, we all kind of thought that that Brandon Wimbush was going to kind of be the guy at UCF. Ends up, of course, now with Dylan Gabriel having to basically be a part of that quarterback competition now with the way things have happened there over the course of the last couple of weeks for UCF. And Dylan Gabriel, true freshman quarterback, basically did the darn things against Stanford, 45-27 in front of a sellout crowd. By the way, in case you were wondering, Josh Heupel is a mad scientist. Like, I was really, really upset to see him leave my alma mater when I still cared and gave a darn about my alma mater. To see him leave there and take the job at UCF, that was something that kind of made me feel a little sad, because he is going to be a mastermind head coach, and be interested to see what he does with that group going forward. Do we have a moment? Do we have a moment to play a little Brent Venables? I do want to at least get Venables in here, because I just continue to think that this gentleman is a sorcerer. Couple of goal line stands, only 187 yards allowed by the Clemson defense. Clemson 41, Syracuse 6. Here's BV on the great job his defense continues to do across the season.
And they've really experienced probably a whole season's worth through three games, to be honest. And to see so many guys that haven't really been there before have to respond too has been fun to see. And again, we, you know, it went about just probably about how we thought, you know, just how it just was. Again, things were going well, but at the same time, you never felt real comfortable. And again, you're not going to make all the plays. They're going to make plays. And again, the whole key is just responding and say, hey, just line up and play another play. And we had countless examples of them doing that tonight. We played every one of our guys on defense, so that was it's always a good thing to go on a road conference game and a place that, you know, have so much respect for the Syracuse staff and their players, how they play the game, toughness and discipline, and what an amazing job, you know, Coach Babers and his staff have done in a very short amount of time, you know, developing this program. And so, you know, you got to keep that into context as well.
That was Brent Venables. You know who else liked the play of Dylan Gabriel? Our friend Taj Boyd. We'll have to ask him about that when he joins us Wednesday. Remember, Taj joins us every Wednesday at 4:21. Tomorrow we'll have, of course, our weekly chats with Colin Taylor and Matt Connolly. Our fantastic CNC Tuesday tomorrow. We'll be, of course, getting coverage from both the press conferences for Will Muschamp and Dabo Swinney. Later on this week, a little opposition research as well. We'll get into Missouri and might have to lean on you for a Charlotte lean. Do you know anybody in Charlotte? 49ers?
I do not. Anybody? But we could find somebody.
We could probably find somebody. I know. You know what I don't put past me is finding somebody in Charlotte, because we could find somebody in Charlotte. Unlike people who might have to try and find people in Missouri, you know. Some people might not be able to find people in Missouri, but guess who can find people in Missouri? Yours truly. It's because I have a little experience in that area. I'm a little sad I'm not going to that game this week. I really am. You're actually going to be at a game, and I'm not going to be at a game for the first time this
year. That's right.
You'll be at North Carolina App State.
Yes, I will.
Take care of yourself out there.
Yeah, Chapel Hill's not a dangerous place unless you've got a case of White Claw.
And I say, Tar Heel fans are no joke, man. Let's look at the game earlier this year between them and South Carolina. I don't want you getting caught with the Pastel Warriors out there, man. That's a little tough. Did we ever get the?
You know, the real sad thing is that a six pack of Zima was busted up in that fight.
Oh,
that's the real sad thing.
That's not nice. 844 GSP ESPN is the phone number. We will hear from the head coach of the Limestone Saints, Brian Turk, when we come back. Maybe some NFL on the way back as well. It's ESPN Upstate.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com. Willie P and Diesel back here with you. It's our pleasure to be joined by the head coach of the Limestone Saints. Brian Turk joins us. His team, once again, second straight week with a ranked team in their coffers. They lose a tough one to West Georgia, 24-14. Coach Turk is with us. Coach, second week in a row, you had to kind of play a little bit above the weight class. How do you feel your team acquitted themselves this past weekend?
I was really encouraged the way our guys played. Obviously we wanted to come out with a win. I think every coach tries to measure themselves in terms of improvement from week one to week two. And I think we definitely saw some improvement. Our defense played well. A couple plays go their way, and they just ended up being scores. Offensively, we got to get better, but I was really encouraged by the way our guys fought from play one to play whatever the final number count was. And at the end of the day, I think it'll make us a better team, help us understand where we can start strengthening some of our weak spots.
I know that you had mentioned in the past that there are guys who are taking on larger roles that might not have had those in the past, and your running back Patton, a career high 140 yards on the ground, two scores on 24 touches. It seems like that is again part of the facet of your offense that continues to grow.
It is. You know, I want to give a lot of credit to our offensive line. They played a great game. You know, we gave up a sack late, but they were pretty clean sheet across the board. We challenged them all week. The West Georgia's got a very good defensive line, and we challenged them. And we ended up running for over 200 yards, which is the first time in a long time we've done it here. And, you know, Jacoya had a great game. We kind of rode the hot hand. And he's actually a sack conference player of the week, offensive player of the week. Very proud of him for that. And, you know, he's a guy, actually, he was my first signing at Limestone when I came here in the spring of 2017. And I just been so proud of the way he's grown and matured as a person, as a player, and as a student. He's a first-generation college goer in his family, and he's just had a lot of expectations on his shoulders from his family. He's done a great job with on off the field.
And we're talking, of course, with Brian Turk, the head coach of Limestone here on ESPN Upstate. What would you say stems kind of where the ills are with your passing game right now?
You know, I get a lot of credit to them. They played a tough press coverage most of the night, challenged our receivers up in front. We had a lot of tough contact area catches that we had to make. Had two drops, one for a touchdown. Four drops total in the game. One was for a touchdown, one was for another big play. You know, Coach Niles, our receiver coach, has been harping on those guys all week and all season about just making sure we catch the ball and help our quarterback out. You know, I give a lot of credit to them. We really felt good in the run game, so we kept staying with and staying hot. Obviously, my background is I like to pass the ball, but I'm obviously not going to, you know, just give up on something because it's not going well. We want to make sure we're not putting one hand behind our back, just sticking to the run game. Sticking to the pass game, excuse me. And, you know, it'll get there. We got to get better on third downs as a team, but it'll get there.
You know, Coach, like you said, you never want to be one-dimensional, and it seemed like that's kind of where West Georgia was. A lot of running of the football. They found some stuff working, but I think a lot of that was due to the fact that you had a pretty awesome game from senior Kelvin Atkins. 7 tackles, 3 for loss, and also a pair of sacks. He was in the backfield a lot.
He was, and we watched the film and had a staff meeting this morning just kind of recapping the game a little bit. Kelvin had a chance, honestly, for probably 4 or 5 sacks. He just was barely missed it. Maybe he was peeking inside when he should have kept his eyes outside. You know, the pass rush was there, and our senior corners, our upperclassmen corners, Manny Ogletree, K.D. Frederick, played a great game in the back half, really took away their outside receivers. And, you know, they found some success over the middle on some play-action stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, Coach Fargo, our defensive coordinator, will tell you the same thing. It's we got to be gap sound in the run game. And, you know, that a 92-yard touchdown run that kind of broke some things open, but it's just unfortunate because the guys played really hard on defense, played a great game.
Limestone head coach Brian Turk and the Saints home to Tusculum this week at the reservation. I know you were able to open the season, at least at the reservation here last week, but these conference games certainly become a lot more important, as you know, and you get to see somebody who you know rather well.
Yeah, it's, you know, the funny thing, we talked about it as a team today in our intro meeting. Tusculum has had a very similar schedule as we have. They've played 2 Gulf South teams, so we actually have a common opponent in West Alabama, a team we do know well, and we've got a lot of respect for Coach Odom over at Tusculum. He does a very good job on defense, very strong mind over there. They have preseason 8 all-conference players, and so they're not going to, you know, they may be 0-2, but they're not a team that you just can just roll your helmet out there and think you can come away with the win. They've got a very talented team. They've got a belief that they can – that should be in the upper half of this conference. And so it's going to take everything we got this weekend.
Brian Turk, head coach of Limestone. Love our chats every week, Coach. Hopefully we'll be talking to you after a win next week.
I sure hope so. Go Saints.
That is head coach Brian Turk joining us here on ESPN Upstate. Monday Night Football tonight is Browns and Jets. You'll hear it right here on ESPN Upstate. Let's just say yours truly. You asked me something last week, whether or not doing this and being a part of this job has taken a lot of the fandom out of it. The one thing I will say this job has done is that I don't allow teams that I grew up rooting for to hurt me anymore. I do not allow that to hurt me. You're laughing. You're laughing, Diesel. I understand. I understand you're laughing. I don't allow myself to be hurt by things like the Jets. Like, the Jets feel like an ex-girlfriend to me. It feels like an ex-girlfriend who you see, you know.
It feels good when they do something nice, but when something bad happens, you're like, meh, whatever.
Yeah, basically. Like the Jets are the ex-girlfriend that people see on TV, and they text me all the time. They say, hey, look what happened to your ex. Like when Donald got hit with mono, it's like, oh, look what happened to your ex. It's like, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to see this. I don't want to see this happen. So that's kind of the way it looks with me. I don't allow them to hurt me anymore. It's nice when they do nice things. Occasionally the Jets call up and say, WYD, you want to hang out? Occasionally they'll do something good, and it's like them calling up and saying, hey, you want to hang out? With WYD, what are you doing? What are you doing, Will? You want to hang out? Remember how great it used to be? That's the Jets of that ex-girlfriend. And then eventually you have the mascara all over your pillowcase, and you wake up the next morning and you ask yourself,
you're covered in vomit.
Yeah, you ask yourself, why did you do that? Why did you do that? The Jets are like the bad decisions you made so many years ago. Is that a good analogy?
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
I like it.
And here's the problem: that mascara covered pillow. We've all been there. You never want to wash it because you want to remember what the good times were like. And guess what? They're never as good as you thought they were. They never were, and they never will be. That's the way the Jets are to me. 844-GSP-ESPN. Jets are that bad ex-girlfriend, man. We have 12 segments in this show, by the way. 11 of them have gone. We saved the last one to let you know what was on the cutting room floor that we didn't necessarily have in the show prep that made the show. Comes your way next on ESPN Upstate. I didn't jump the liner that time. We're making progress.
You're growing.
It's also getting darker earlier. I'm not happy about it. Tomorrow on the program, it is a CNC Tuesday. Colin Taylor at Gamecock Central. Matt Connolly of the state newspaper, Clemson Beat Writer. Our double-barreled action between those two, covering the press conferences of Messrs. Muschamp and Sweeney. This is something that just came out. We might have this audio for you tomorrow. Mike Leach has gone out and made a significant statement. The Washington State head coach talking about the movement to pay athletes. He says California has trouble keeping its streets clean, so they should probably focus on that first before
boom
anything involving paying college athletes. This, of course,
burn.
Is akin to the story we were talking a lot of the week last week about, which basically has California has a bill on the governor's desk right now that would basically thwart the NCAA's rulings on paying players for being able to take advantage of their name and likeness. South Carolina wants to introduce, or at least legislators in South Carolina want to introduce some similar legislation when the January session begins. We have had contact between this show and one of the sponsors of that bill, South Carolina State Senator Marlon Kimpson out of Charleston. And Senator Kimpson has been texting back and forth with us. We are working to try and get him on the program either Wednesday or Thursday. So we'll have a chance to talk with him about the bill. And there's some differences between the bill that they're proposing in South Carolina and the one that they are about to pass in California. This one would actually include a $5,000 stipend separate from the cost of attendance stipend that's already given to South Carolina athletes. So we'll certainly try and get him on for you and have him explain his position on that for those of you who either agree or dissent with that view. Good show today. Thank you for the calls. Thank you to David Hood and to Chris Lowe of ESPN.com. For Diesel, I'm Willie P. For Sturge, so long, South Carolina.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.